Okay, good morning. Before I bring a couple of reflections about communion, and I'm not going to speak for very long, I just want to say that as a church, we do something called an anniversary communion, or we used to call it an annual communion, which is where we celebrate communion roughly on the time that Passover happens, that Jesus would actually have had the Last Supper in the upper room with his disciples. We seem to be a little bit out this year for some reason. I'm not quite sure why, but anyway, we'd normally do it around that kind of time. So for those of you who might think, well, surely you take communion every week in church, we don't as a church. It's people who do, it's fine. We haven't got a problem with people who take it every week. And we do, if you hang around with us for long enough in different places, you'll find that we take communion at other points as well. You might take communion with a life group. We might have an evening meeting where we take a communion. We're very free about it. But at the same time, we do feel that this is a particularly special meeting, and there's a particular anointing that rests on this celebration of communion. And just to say, once we have taken communion and once we've gone back into worship, we want to make a particular space for healing, for prayer for healing, for whether that be physical healing, emotional healing, whether you know, you just need some prayer and someone to stand with you today. So please do take that opportunity, and we'll make space for that. We're trying to do the prayer at the back over there rather than at the front, but equally, you can always just get someone next to you to pray with you for communion. And the other thing I'll say now before I forget is that what those people who aren't able or who'd rather not kind of take ages to come to a table to get communion, we'll come round to bring it to you, okay? But we'll do that after we've served everyone else, if that's okay. So you won't be forgotten, all right? But that's how we'll do it. Okay, so the book of Hebrews tells us in Hebrews 3, chapter 1, to fix our eyes on Jesus. We've already been doing that in the worship, and the Holy Spirit's already been speaking to us and been reminding us of how wonderful he is. In that hymn that we sang, Praise Him, Praise Him, it said, slow to chide and swift to bless. We're so quick, aren't we, to tell each other off, to tell ourselves off, and that's not God's heart at all. He is slow to chide, he's swift to bless. He's slow to get angry. God is slow to get angry. He's patient and he's kind with each of us. I don't think we'll fully grasp how long-suffering he is and how patient he is until we meet him face to face. And until we see in glory how little he cared about so many of the things that we did that we thought we'd mucked up on, you know. And I just, in the same way, I think that a lot of the things that we think are amazing things that we've done for God, I think he'll say, no, but actually when you did that, that really pleased my heart. So there'll be, it says in the Gospels, the first shall be last and the last first. All these amazing men and women of God who we think, oh, I wish I could be like them. Some of them will be at the back of the queue, and some ordinary folk like us will be nearer the front. That's what Jesus taught. So it's immensely comforting to think that. Now it also says, though, in Hebrews 3, verse 12, it says, beware lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. So if any of us, and this can happen to us from time to time, that we fall into unbelief and that we're not moving in faith, which is what pleases God. So when you come up to take communion today, you're expressing your faith. You're saying, I believe in you, Jesus. I believe in what you did, and I accept it for me. Now, I will just say that if you don't know that you believe in Jesus, if you're not sure where you are on your journey, I'd rather that you didn't take the bread and take the wine. And another reason for that will come clear in a moment. I haven't got a problem. No one will tell you off if you come up to take the bread and the wine. That's perfectly fine. That's between you and God. But at the same time, you know, it's an expression of faith. Okay, and I am explaining what it means here. But at the same time, it's a serious thing to do. It's a good thing to do. It's a wonderful thing to do. And it's an important thing to do. As John was talking about the Sunday Lunch Club earlier, the word feast popped into my mind. Because what it is a feast. Yeah, God's invited us to a feast. And it is wonderful. And what happens with communion is that we move through a serious moment where we are seriously reflecting, but then once we've taken the bread and the wine, we just all heaven breaks loose into joy and celebration because we're celebrating what God's done. Now, it was only because Jesus was without sin, because he was perfect in everything he thought, everything he said, everything he did, that he could be the perfect sacrifice for us. Of course, he wasn't just man, he was God as well. And for the Jews, when they sacrificed the lamb, it was a picture of how they could never, by their own efforts, keep the law. They needed to bring a sacrifice because they couldn't please God in themselves. And the lamb that they used couldn't have any blemish on it. Couldn't have any disease or deformity. It had to be an able-bodied, perfect lamb. It had to be a male. It had to be 1 year old, at least. But Jesus, of course, was the perfect lamb. He was the real deal. And he put an end to the need for animal sacrifice when he died on the cross, when he came and gave his life as a ransom for many, as it says. I don't think we've fully grasped how amazing our salvation is, how amazing it is what Jesus did. Some of the words we were singing just now start to get close to it, don't they? I'm completely astonished, we've just sung, yeah, that you washed my sins away. Well, we sang the other week, just at the end of the meeting, we sang, so high, isn't the love of Jesus simply wonderful? So high, we can't get over it. So low, you can't get under it. So wide, you can't get round it. We can't run away from God's love, even if we wanted to. It's just amazing. And his salvation is the same. Once we've believed in Jesus, we can't lose that salvation, even if we wanted to. Okay, because he will not let you go out of his hand. That's what he said. He said, I am yours and I'm not letting you go. That's what he said. And so the salvation that we have is completely certain and it lasts forever. Hallelujah. And every time, though, every time that we take the bread and drink the wine, we are entering deeper into the reality of being cleansed, of being forgiven, of being accepted. Jesus was broken so that we don't need to be broken. He was rejected by God just for those few hours on the cross so that we can be accepted. That had to happen. It was awful, but that was the only way that it could be done. It actually says in the Bible, before the foundation of the world, it talks about Jesus being slain before the world was even created. God always knew that this was going to be necessary. He always knew that we would never make it on our own. Even on that day, as Jesus was hanging on the cross and as he'd been crucified, they were killing lambs for the Passover, for the preparation. But those lambs' deaths could never take away sin. And they were putting a spear in Jesus' side, and he was the lamb who had overcome sin forever. He was the one lamb. It had actually been done, and they didn't realize. They were still there killing those lambs, still doing their rituals. They didn't know that Jesus had done it all and it had already been finished. They were taken down from the cross, the body of the only acceptable sacrifice. Not only does he atone for sin, but he atones for the sin of the whole world. In other words, he takes the price, he pays the price for the sin of the whole world. Most of us are like the rest of us. A guy called Paul Carter, who used to be with us, used to say that all the time. When you'd listen to Paul for a while, you could almost predict what he was going to say because he had so many sayings like that. Some of them I thought were in the Bible and I learned they weren't. But yeah, this one. I don't think this one is either. But we don't have the kind of discipline and spiritual fervor and passion that we'd like to have. And I'm including myself here. You know, I set myself standards. I say, right, I'm going to do this. And then I don't do it. Okay. I can't even keep my own standards, let alone God's standards. None of that matters when it comes to communion. It's not a problem. All of us can come and take the bread and the wine. Because actually that's the point. The whole point is that we need it. We needed Jesus to die on the cross for us. That's the whole point of the gospel. We've already sang a lot about this, but God has loved us with an everlasting love. And what he started to do in me, he's actually finished. God can see you, each one of us, perfect, perfected, because he started that work. It doesn't matter where we are on the journey of faith. We might be only just starting, or we might be quite a long way down the line. But I think, if you don't mind me saying, I think God's got to do a lot of work, certainly with me, and I'm sure with each of us. He's still got a lot of work to do. And we're stuck with each other in this imperfect state, but God can see us all perfected and glorious already. So what matters, though, is that we don't come to communion thinking, oh, this is great, yes, I'm God's child, I'm really good, yeah, God's so pleased that I'm in his family now, yeah, sorted now, God, rest of the world will be safe because I'm the person who's going to do it all. Think, oh, I've worked really hard, this is great, this is just, you know, this is what I'm entitled to. We're not worthy. We're not worthy to drink the blood and to drink the wine and to eat the bread. None of us are worthy. He's worthy, though, and that's what matters. We're not doing God a favour by eating the bread and drinking the wine. That's not how we come. We've got to come humbly. We've got to come knowing that we're broken, knowing that we've messed it up, knowing how small we are, and knowing how big God is. But at the same time, what was it that Jesus said when he hung on the cross? He said, Father, forgive them. And that is what Jesus does. He forgives us. When he said it, he was forgiving those people who had just nailed nails into his feet and into his hands, and the people who had just been beating him, and the Jews who were mocking him and had said, crucify him. He was actually saying, Father, forgive them. That was the level of compassion that he had. But he was also forgiving us as well. He was saying, forgive us, because if we hadn't fallen so far from God, then we would never have needed him to die. So he was saying, forgive us. And that's what it is. We come and he forgives us. Okay, I'm going to move over here at this point, and I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians 11, if you wanted to follow, from verse 23. And shortly what we're going to do is we're going to have a short time of reflection and just examination, as it tells us to in this scripture. So it's 1 Corinthians 11, 23. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. That is why many among you are weak and ill, and a number of you have fallen asleep, which actually means died. But if we were more discerning with regard to ourselves, we would not come under such judgment. Nevertheless, when we are judged in this way by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be finally condemned with the world. Now, I haven't got time to do a Bible study on that passage. Happy to answer questions on it if any of you want to ask. But it's not something to fear, but it's something just to be aware of, that we need to be taking this seriously. And so we always allow time for the Holy Spirit just to speak to our hearts and just to remind us of anything we might have done or said or thought that might have displeased him. And then as soon as it pops into your head, just say, Lord, yeah, please forgive me for that. Remember when Jesus was on trial, he didn't speak when he was accused. He was silent. He didn't defend himself. And so it's very important that when the Holy Spirit convicts us of something, we don't think, oh, yeah, but that was so-and-so's fault. Or, I always do that. It doesn't matter. If the Holy Spirit has spoken to you, it's because he wants you to confess it. And you won't be able to remember everything, or you won't know everything that you've done wrong. We're not always aware of it. But the Lord forgives us if we spend that time making that effort. I spent quite a lot of time listing all sorts of things here that I thought but I felt I don't feel it's right to go through that list, because for each of us it's going to be different, whatever God puts on your spirit. And it might be that nothing springs to mind and that you're just sitting there in silence for a few minutes. If so, just say the name Jesus quietly to yourself. Just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. It's really good sometimes just to have silence, and it's a really good opportunity for God to speak to us. I will just say, though, that it says in 1 John 1:8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. All of us muck up. I don't know how much when it comes to the end of all things and the judgment. I don't think all our sins will be on display, because the Lord forgets them. But I know that all of us, I'm sure, would be open mouthed at each other's sins if we were to know them. But the Lord covers it all over, which is so wonderful. But it also says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and then to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So as we're quietly reflecting, the children are going to come in, because they're going to be taking communion with us. So don't be distracted by that. And just remember that it says in Isaiah, all we like sheep have gone astray. All of us have turned to our own way. So we just turned away from God and we've gone and done our own thing. It may not appear to be sinful to you, but actually we've turned away from him and we need to turn back. And God just wants our hearts to be open before him. Okay, just to remind you as well, one final picture is of the prodigal son who went off, grabbed his father's inheritance, partied it all away and came back really, really contrite, really broken, and saying, just have me as one of your servants. But the father ran down the road and he gave him much more than he deserved. It's the same for us. So don't be scared of confessing to God and don't be scared of being honest. So let's bow our heads. Let's quietly spend a few minutes just receiving from the Holy Spirit. Father, we want to thank you that you are so, so good to us, Lord. And we want to thank you, Father, that you sent Jesus. Lord, what a sacrifice that you sent your Son. Lord, that you wanted us so much, Lord, that you were prepared to sacrifice your perfect, beautiful, lovely Son, Jesus. That you were prepared to turn your back on him. Lord, we thank you for your body, Lord Jesus. We thank you for the bread, for your body that was broken on the cross. Lord, for the pain that you endured. Lord, for the suffering. Lord Jesus, we think of the shame that you endured, Lord. And we thank you, Lord. And we want to partake in your body, Lord. We know that if we die with you, we shall also live with you. And we also thank you for the blood that was shed. Where would we be without the blood? Where would we be without the blood of Jesus? Every drop avails for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for that precious, precious blood of Jesus that washes whiter than snow. Lord, there is healing in the blood. You've taken our sins. You've taken the sins that were like scarlet and you made them white as snow. We are clean. We are forgiven. We are righteous because you took the punishment on yourself. Lord Jesus, I pray that as each of us come up and take of the bread and the wine today, Lord, that you would do a fresh work of grace in our hearts, a fresh work of love and forgiveness and cleansing, a fresh work of healing in our hearts. Lord Jesus, I pray that with everything we have within us, we will say yes to you because you're a good, good Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.